Some of you may know, but Tracy's dad passed away, so she is she's in that time, that season that each one of us walk in sooner or later. I remember when my mom passed away. So we need to pray for Tracy and the family and all those who are being affected by the loss. We also need to pray for the Powells. You know, Barbara is in the hospital. Some of you do not know who Barbara is, but the name of the church came from them. They started Shalom, I think, in 83 or 86. And when Shalom changed names, we took it. Pastor Dan, who started the church, he passed away a few years ago, and now it looked like she is opening the doors to see her Savior, so we need to pray for that family. There was one more. Slipped my mind. There was another one. I didn't write it down, and I should have written it down. There's somebody else we're supposed to pray for. Amen. We'll pray for, what's the name again?
Deanna.
I should know that. Wonder Woman. All right. So we have three folks to pray for. We need to pray because in times like these, the only one we can look to is God. You know, doctors could only patch you up. But God can transform. So let's pray. Father, as we come tomorrow, today, and tomorrow, they'll pray. We ask God for these requests. First of all, Lord, we pray for Tracy and Joan and everyone that is affected by this loss. Lord, we ask, O God, that you would give them peace. Peace in the midst of this storm. Father, even though this time in their life it may feel like the waters are choppy and the wind is blowing in the wrong direction, Father, we pray, God, that they would find that you are in this with them and that they will find comfort knowing that you are right there and that they can call upon your name and find the kind of help they need for this journey that they have just started to walk in. So, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for the peace of God on this family. We pray for the Powells. Lord, we pray for Sister Barbara. She's in the hospital, and they have called in hospice. And, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, first of all, that Barbara will put her full trust in you and that she will hold on to all that she has been taught and has known for many years. We pray, God, for a peace in her life. We ask, O God, at this point, Lord, as she's not looking too good, we pray, God, that she would look good in your eyes, that you would, O God, look and see her faith in you and the blood of Jesus that have covered every sin. And Father, we thank you for her life. We thank you, Lord, for the influence that she has been in some of our lives. And we pray, God, that, Father, the family will have peace knowing that she served God. And Lord, we pray for Diana, Lord, in the hospital without hope. And Lord, the family, even they believe the reports of the doctors. But Lord God, we serve and trust a God that understands our body because we were created by you. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would reach down and touch her where she's laying, and touch her in such a way that she would not be able to deny the hand of God in her life. We pray, God, that you would eradicate whatever this infection is. And that once again, oh God, her blood would be cleansed and her life would be clean. But most importantly, that she will turn her eyes towards Jesus. And she would surrender her life to him and live for him. And Father, we ask, oh God, that she would be an influence in a righteous way to those that sit by her bedside. And Father, we pray, God, that we'll hear a good report. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we are still talking about faith. Faith. And one of the words you should be remembering by now is, one of the words you should be remembering by, everybody think they're going to get it wrong. You know, that's why nobody answer. You know, when the preacher asks a question, nobody answer because everybody afraid they're going to say the wrong thing. But there's a word you should be remember by now. I've been using that word for about 3 weeks. Conviction. You should have a conviction of your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. I like that word better than I like evidence. I like conviction. Do you know when you have a conviction, it changes your life? It does. If you ever get a conviction, it changes your life. Why? A conviction is something that comes in and it makes a change in you. So we've been using that word, and I hope that that's a word you would use for the rest of your life when you're faced with things in your life that try to steal your faith or rob you of what God has deposited in you. You can look that thing in the eye and say, I have a conviction of what's not seen. Praise the Lord. They remembered last week I was pulling teeth. So if you have your Bibles, we go into Hebrews chapter 12. I know we touched some on that last week, but if you go to Hebrews chapter 12, we'll look at a few more things. If you hear me stifling and if I cough a little bit, those kids just brought that home from school. And because I love on them, I got what they got. Let me tell you something. I tried hard not to get what they got. But because you love on them, I could preach that too. But that'll take for another sermon. Get all my stuff here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight of sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So that you will not go weary or faint-hearted? I'll ask you the same questions I asked you last week. Oh, I think I asked you last week. What are some of the things in your life that is hindering or stealing your faith? We all have something. Believe it or not, we have something in our lives that wants to steal and rob us of the faith of, that God has deposited in us. Now, I don't know how you believe, and I'm not talking about once saved, always saved, or can we lose. I'm not talking about that. That's a topic for another time. And I usually stay away from those topics because there's always everybody in a different camp. But I'm going to tell you this. The enemy wants to steal your faith. And he is going to use whatever he can to do so. In fact, he's been doing it so long. He knows you. He knows your personality. He knows what to do. He has perfected his skill. And the only thing we have, and the best thing we have, is Jesus. So let's look at this. I went to visit Jeffrey yesterday. I get there, and he's cleaning up his fish tank, and I sat at his table, either yesterday or the day before, and he had these binoculars sitting there. And he says, I use those binoculars to watch the birds. He said, take a look. And I take up those binoculars, and I'm looking, and I can't see anything. I just couldn't see anything. I'm thinking, what on earth is Jeffrey's watching with his binoculars? I can't see a thing. So I rested, and I said, but I didn't tell Jeffrey that at first. Then I pick it back up. I put back my eyes, and it had a nub on the top. I start playing with that nub on the top. Guess what? I start to see. It started to focus. And I focus it. It was way out of focus, at least for me. I said, Jeffrey, how come you seeing out of this? This thing is way out of focus. And Jeffrey said, well, you know my eyes. So whenever I see a little bit, it's good for me. But it was out of focus. Folks, we have to focus. Many of us are living our life out of focus. When I think of, it says here, looking unto Jesus. Focus. Now, I didn't grow up as a farmer. And if James was here, James could have told us this. They have nice machines now to do farming. You know that? They always get in my way when I'm in a hurry on the road. Always. And then you have to crawl behind them. But they have taken away a lot of hard labor. But you see the farmer? He had to focus. He had to have those lines in order. And if I understand it, he had to pick something. And he had to lay his eyes on it. And he don't take it off until he finished plowing that row. He didn't look to the side. He didn't look to that side to see how close he is to that row. He focused on what was ahead. And when he got there and turned around and looked back, that line was straight. Folks, if we focus on Jesus, if you put your eyes on Jesus, when you get to the end of your life and you look back, you would find that you never veered off course. Do you know why we veer off course and why we lose our faith? It's because we take our eyes off of Jesus. Well, I got Jeffrey's binoculars into focus. I hope he could see a little better. Probably not. But here is the first thing I see. We have to focus. It says, lay aside. Now, there's two things I see, two analogies here. One on focusing and one on running. The first one really is on running. It says this, and I talked about this a little bit the last time. It says, lay aside every weight and sin. Now, it didn't say weight that is sin. It says weight and sin. Okay? So there's two things it's talking about. Weight and sin. What is it talking about? Weight and sin. Okay, and then it says this, which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. If you want to stay and keep your faith, the first thing you have to do is get rid of weight. Now, I never ran a marathon. I never have. I don't plan to. But when I was in college, I did a little running. But you know, when I went to run, I didn't run in my regular clothes. I never got up at 6 o'clock and put on jeans, dress shoes, jacket, and tie to run. I never did that. What I did was I put on some sneakers with socks, short pants, tank top, stretch a little bit, hit the road. I didn't want anything to hinder my running. What's the first thing we see in this illustration? Why do you put aside things? Here's the problem. It's good to put aside sin. It is very good to put aside sin. In fact, I want you to stop sinning. In fact, I want to stop sinning. But why do we put it aside? Why do I put that aside? Because I want to run the race. That's why I put it aside. Let's talk about weight. So weight is different from sin. Now, it doesn't really give me much explanation what it is, but I'm going to use my imagination. Spending too much time watching TV. I have a new game. I love it. I never used to play games on my phone. Never. But I was getting so stressed. I said, you know, I need to find a game I could play on my phone. And I found a game. And I've been playing it for a while now. In fact, I'm on level 2,000 and something. I'm enjoying it. Sometimes I go to bed at night, and instead of praying, I'm playing. I'm just being honest. I go to the doctor's office to drop Jeffrey off. That time I sometimes used to read, now I'm playing. Now, if I want to run a better race, I'm talking about me now, I'm talking about you, I'm not meddling in your business, I'm only meddling in mine. I go stop doing it, why? I'm putting it aside, why? Would I put it aside and don't read my Bible? No, because guess what? I'm not putting it aside to put it aside. I'm putting it aside in order to run. The problem with us is sometimes we put stuff aside, but we still are running. What is the sense? It is good to put it aside, but what is the sense putting it aside and you never got in the race? And I think that is some of our problem. We feel like it's okay just to put it aside and come to church and just listen to the preacher and go back home and come the next week and forget what the preacher said because you couldn't answer his question. When you put it aside, when you put it aside, it's for a purpose. Folks, some of you are not putting it aside because you don't want to run. Guess what? I don't want to run in any marathon, so I am not doing anything to run in a marathon. But you see this spiritual walk of mine? I want to put stuff aside to run. Now, to tell you the truth, the game has not hindered me. Sometime for the whole weekend, I didn't touch the game. In fact, I was, because I'm on a team in the game. There's 50 people in the team. And it's not, I never thought being on a team was good. I joined the team and I realized, boy, you join the team, there's benefits to be on the team. Because when they have team competition and you didn't play a dime, you didn't do anything, you're still getting stuff from what they did. I love it. But guess what? I was like number 28 because I was playing a lot. It didn't take me long to go from 50 to 28. But I said, I'm playing this thing too much. I should be using it for the purpose I wanted to use it in the first place, as a stress relief. Every now and then, I just pick it up and play it. And guess what? I'm no longer at 28, now I'm at 30. People passing me now because it's not as important. I lay it aside so I could run the spiritual race. I don't want it to take the place of my devotions. I don't want it to take the place of my time with God. That is important. That is part of me laying aside the weight. What is the weight in your life that is not a sin, but it's hindering you from running? If we were to be honest with ourselves this morning, many of us in this very room have stuff in our lives that is weight, that is not sin, but it's hindering you from running. But you need to put it aside. Not just put it aside, but put it aside so that you can run. Every runner must put aside things in order to run a better race. In fact, to run a race he is willing to win or wants to win. Now, if you go on YouTube, you know, everything on YouTube is true. Don't tell people I say that. You know, you all go say the preacher say, and you type in, what I need to do to run a marathon, somebody is going to be telling you stuff. I guarantee it. You would find out there's a lot of things they stop doing, even though it's not sin, because they want to run the race. They change their diet, what they're eating. Do you know that? Some people, the first day, they give up all sodas. God help me. Here's another thing. Do you know that, especially when the race gets closer, you could be married or not, sex is out of the picture. It's not a sin. But for that runner that wants to run that race, he's giving it up because he has his eyes on the prize. You see, the problem with us is we have not put our eyes on the prize. You know what it's involved to truly run a race? Denying yourself. You know, I've been wanting to lose weight for how long? I've been telling you guys this? Long time. In fact, I went on the scale yesterday and I haven't lost a pound. I gained a few pounds. Why? Because I haven't denied myself. See, Wednesday, there was cake left over from Wednesday night. And there was two cakes, and by the time it was to take home, it was one cake, half of one and half of the other. And it was sent home with me because we have 4 children. And the expectation was that the children was going to eat it. Now, remember, I have a goal. I want to lose weight. So I took the cake home and I rested it on the counter. And I passed by it and I took a piece. That was for breakfast. And by the time I'm ready to leave the house to get to work, I took another piece. That's before lunch. And when I get home that evening, I took another piece. And, you know how the story ended. The cake didn't go to a waste. Eating the cake was not a sin. But I did not accomplish my goal because I didn't deny myself to run the race I had set before me. What is in your life? And this is, folks, this is serious. This is very serious. We may not think it's serious, but this is serious. Because many of us is going to admit a sin is a sin. And many of us is going to say, I'm dealing with this sin and I really need to get this sin out of my life. But many of us wouldn't say the things, the weight that weighs us down that is not a sin, that keep us from the goal, keep us from running the race. And then it says, run with endurance. The only way you can run with endurance is to deny yourself before you get in the race. Do you know that? You have to make a decision before you get in the race. If you get into the race and you did not deny yourself, you have more endurance to endure. More things to endure. When I first started running in college, first time, 2 miles. Before I even finished half a mile, I got a pain. And when I say I got a pain, I got a pain. If I didn't know that pain was from running, I'd call somebody to take me to the hospital. But I hold my side and I kept running. I endured. See, I wanted to play basketball for the college. And I know if I don't get in shape, I ain't getting on that team. Here's the other thing. We can get encouragement from those who have finished the race before us. Do you know that? He gave us encouragement. He said, look at David. Did he tell us that? He said, look at David. Look at Abraham. I put one more person down here. Barak. I hope I pronounced that. He said, look at him. They run the race. Get encouragement from the folks that has run the race before you. Didn't he say that? In fact, they're a cloud of witnesses and they're saying, go, boy, go. Go, boy. Oh, you're feeling that pain. I had that pain. You can go through with that pain because I had that very same pain. But then he gave us the best key the best thing we ever needed. He said, you could get all your encouragement from them who run before us, but you have to focus on Jesus. He said, looking to Jesus, the one who started this whole thing and is the one who can perfect your faith. Jesus is the perfecter of your faith. He said, look to him. Look to Jesus. You could look to, listen, you know why he didn't say look to them? He could have said look to David. He could have said look to Abraham. But he said, no, look to Jesus. Jesus was perfect. He was a perfect man. He was in the flesh and he did not sin. Look to Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Take encouragement from anybody else you want to, but your focus needs to be on Jesus. You only get it, but you'll get it. Focus on, why you think he didn't say focus on David? He could have said focus on David. He ended the race, focus on him. But if David was here, he would have said, like Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. When I get off the path, don't follow me at all. We can focus on David. Why? Because David was like some of us. We couldn't even focus on Abraham, the man of great faith. But when he left, he was so afraid for his life. He says, tell them, tell the Egyptian, you're my sister. I would have been screaming when they come and take her. That's my wife. And he let them take his wife to the palace of the king of Egypt. Come on! And you know, he didn't just do it once. Once, you know, I thought he'd have learned his lesson the first time. God could take care of you. Come on, man. Did you know he didn't even intervene for himself? God intervened for him. And he didn't even learn the lesson the first time, but yet he is mentioned in the book of faith that we should take encouragement from. I think it was Nehemiah. No, what's the other king? Melchizedek. I can't remember the king. I had it in my mind. It's gone now. I should write it down. Gone to the other king. He says, you know what? You're so beautiful, oh boy. That woman had to have been stunning. He gets there, and guess what? Soon as he gets there with her, they see her, they take her, send her to the king. Second time. He didn't learn a lesson. But Bible says we can get encouragement because some of us are just like that. Some of us, God comes and rescue us, and we still haven't learned. But don't let the enemy take your faith. Use them as encouraging. Encouragement for you. Forgive me, I'm getting excited. They can only be encouragement, but your focus must always be on Jesus. You know why? Too many of us say, well, if God can love David like that and he did that, I am okay. But that's not what it's saying. We need to be like Jesus. Our focus has to be on Jesus. But just in case we have some of the issues that those men have, we can see and understand that doesn't rob us or that doesn't take away our faith in God. We don't have to stay there and just walk away from what God is doing in your life. And there's many people who do that. He said, because Jesus is the founder and the perfecter of your faith. And hear what it says. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Oh, that's the time. Praise the Lord. Listen. Listen to me. Listen to me, guys. Listen, listen, listen. If you don't hear anything, hear this. Know the end of the book. Know the end of the story. Know that Jesus is coming back. You should be able to endure whatever you're going through, knowing that one day, holy smoke, one day it's coming. That as the songwriter says, you all sang it this morning, it's one day is coming that you're going to see him face to face. He's going to wipe the tears from your eyes. There's not going to be any more pain. You're going to live with him forever and ever and ever and ever. That should be something that motivates you to hold on. I wanted to get picked so bad as one of those basketball players in college. I wanted it so bad that when I was getting ready and I'm running and that pain come, I hold that pain in my side and I say, look, I know what I want. I want to, when the college basketball start, they call my name. I don't even have to play on the field. I want to, if I just sit on the bench and I endure the pain, for what? A basketball game. The Christian life is about eternity. And we're losing our focus. We think it's all about here. We just focus only on the present. We only focus on the trials and the tribulation and the pain and the, this one did this and this one hurt me and that and that and this and that. That's all our focus on. But if we would change focus, if we would only change focus, when you get a distance and you look back, you're going to see that the line is straight. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father. I'll read this and then we'll pray. I want you to think of Jesus as we read this, verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Folks, have you ever thought about that? Consider Jesus when you're going through something, or you just consider you. Your pain, your frustration, what you don't like? Or do you turn it to Jesus, who endured? You ever get punished for doing nothing? How'd that make you feel? Jesus got punished for doing nothing. He didn't do anything at all. But yet he got punished. He didn't do anything that deserved God's wrath, but he got it. He didn't do anything to be flogged 39. He didn't do anything to get a crown of thorns on his head. He didn't do anything to get nails in his hands and his feet. But he endured it. Because he knew when he finished the race, he's going back to sit at the right hand of his Father. We need to have the same kind of mind. What it says, have this mind in you like was also in Christ Jesus. And the Bible actually says, which is yours? Philippians chapter 2, which is yours in Christ. You can have this same mind. Do you need it? Do you want it? Do you desire it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Lord, there's so much we can say about some passages in the Bible, and there's more than can be said. But God, we want to run this race of faith with a focus that is focused on Jesus. And we want to lay aside those things that cling so closely to us, sin. The sin in our lives that keep knocking on our door. They just keep knocking and knocking. And Lord God, sometimes it's so hard to resist. But we thank you that you said in your word that if we resist the devil, he will flee. And Lord, some of the things that we are doing that is not sin, but it's hindering us from running. It's stealing our time away from you. Things that we are doing, oh God, that is we don't get any conviction over it because it's not considered sin. But yet, it is pulling us away from your purpose for our lives. Father, help us today to recognize those things and lay them aside. And not just lay them aside and do nothing, but lay them aside and get in the race. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, go and be blessed.